Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And I want you to take your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 3. We made mention of this verse this morning, and I want to use it to try to help you and challenge you as a church. And I believe that I'm standing in probably one of the greatest churches in America. And I don't say that just because I'm here. I say that because I believe that. And so what I'm going to deal with tonight is, very important, because the enemy desires to stop what's going on in places like this. And I want to deal with this thought, standing with your pastor. That's not a typical revival message, I guess, but I believe it's exactly what the Lord's burdened my heart for us tonight. When you found your place in Jeremiah chapter number 3, I want to look at verse number 15. You can stand in honor of God's word. And here's what your Bible says in this passage of Scripture. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I'm going to read that one more time. He said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart. See, we're having some trouble in 2023 in churches across America. They're wanting pastors after the deacon board's heart. But God said, what I want to do is I want to give you a pastor after mine heart. It's going to feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for this time to stand. I pray now, God, you would illuminate my heart and mind. Help me, I pray, to preach what you've laid on my heart. I pray, God, that you would empower me from on high for just a few moments. And God, for what's done, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Now in this passage of Scripture, we understand that the nation of Israel here, they're in a pretty bad place. They have adopted idolatry. They have gotten involved in things that have caused them to lose all shame. And if you study this chapter, they're to a place where sin does not bother them. And really, the nation of Israel is just in a complete mess. And the prophet Jeremiah here, he gives us, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he gives us this beautiful verse where he says that the Lord is desiring to give them pastors that will lead them and will guide them and will open the Word of God, and they would obtain knowledge and understanding. If you don't have a knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God, you will veer toward ideology. Amen. And so it's very important. I said this one time at my church when I was pastoring just a few months back. I have never heard a testimony of a church where they said, you know, after we got rid of our pastor, we just started just busting out the seams. We had to go into a building program, and man, the pews filled up. That's not God's design. It never has been and never will be. And this message I want to preach to your heart this evening is not something necessarily you may ever hear your pastor get up and preach. And it's because there's just an understanding that we must get that may not necessarily ever come from him. But you and I must understand, if we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to stand with our pastor. There's more pastors in here than just Pastor Barker, and I want us to understand the importance of standing with our pastor. If we're going to move through the year of 2023, we're going to have to understand God's design within the church and what it means to stand with God's man. I want to help you and not only cheer your pastor and these other pastors this evening, but I want to challenge the people, if God would help me. I'm seeing a loss of respect in these days. I'm seeing a loss of honor and support for pastoral leadership. I'm thankful that you do not experience that here like I have seen in other places. And it's my burden that you never get to that place here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. I believe that this is something that must be taught. I believe that it is something we must learn and we must understand while working under pastoral leadership. I thank God for the time that I got to spend with my pastor and how he mentored me and he taught me some of these things and how I learned from him and how important it is. And I'm going to show you that if the Lord would help us here in a few moments. But as a whole today, we are seeing a lack of authority or respect for authority in society. Would you agree with me this evening? I mean, all across America, we don't care about authority anymore. We're living in one of the most rebellious times that have ever been. And it's bleeding into our churches. Our young people across America are taught that they don't have to respect authority anymore, that they can do whatever they want to do. It's supposed to be okay. Can I say to you, that's as far from the truth as anything. The only way to enjoy true liberty and happiness is to come under the authority that you and I have been given. I thought about this, a pastor in definition. Let's think about that word in just simple definition. A pastor is a leader in charge of a congregation. That's pretty simple. Wouldn't you agree with me? A pastor is a leader in charge of a congregation. And throughout our Bible, we find several distinct leaders. There are people throughout the Word of God that was placed in positions of authority, who were placed in pastoral positions of leadership that we can glean and learn from. And I want us to consider a couple of those this evening, and we'll move through this quite quickly. And I want to kind of just draw this thought together, and I want you to stay with me because I'm going to be a little bit in every direction, all right? But I want us to look at two specific people in the Word of God that were leaders, or you could refer to as pastors, that fall under that definition. And those two are these two men, Moses and David. Now, I'm going to take a little bit for granted that you understand a little bit about the lives and ministries of Moses and David. One of the things about Moses that's special is that kind of excludes him from some of the others, as God began to work this message in my heart, was the difficulty that he faced within the congregation of people that he served. You look at the ministry of Moses and how he led the nation of Israel, and it was over and over and over and over. He dealt with difficulty within the congregation of people that he was ministering to. And then when we look at David, one of the biggest things about the ministry of David was the difficulty that he faced without the congregation of the people that he was leading. Now, we understand that David had a lot of inward difficulty. We understand what he faced with King Saul. We understand what he faced within. But most of his ministry was external battles that he faced. Things without the congregation. Your pastor will deal with those types of difficulties within ministry. First, he'll deal with the difficulty within the congregation of the people that he leads, and then he'll be required to face difficulty in defending the people he is called to lead from outside adversity. Can I say, if you've got a pastor, I believe you do, that loves you, he'll fight for you in front of the things that would destroy you that are without. Each of these men, Moses and David, had key people that knew the heart of their leader. Moses, we understand, he was most known for the inward difficulty, and David for the outward. May I say to you that God is looking for some Christians who are interested in getting behind God's man and standing with him in the face of difficulty. People that love God, people that love God's word and support and respect the position of pastoral leadership. Moses had somebody with him that was that person. Y'all remember who he was? He was a man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was a man that stood with Moses. Now,
First, I want you to understand that Joshua, he had a defining call to a position. We find in the book of Exodus, chapter number 17, and verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with a rod of God in my hand. Watch this now. He said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. And he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and they put it under him and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of who? Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, how many of you know this story because of Moses or because of Aaron and Hur? Aaron and Hur seem to get the publicity of this battle that took place between the nation of Israel and Amalek. They were holding up the arms of the man of God, wasn't they? They were up on the mountaintop. They were out there where everybody could see that what they were doing seemed to cause victory within the nation of Israel. But I think about Joshua. Joshua had a daunting task placed upon his life. Moses told Joshua, Joshua, come here a minute. I want you to choose some men that can go down and fight against Amalek. Moses trusted Joshua's judgment. It's a glorious thing to get to hold up the hands of the man of God. But when the man of God can look at you and trust your judgment to choose those that are most likely to be the strongest of the strong to go into battle, that's a man that's standing by the pastor. But then he had a display of toughness. There was no envy of Aaron and Hur. No envy of another's position within the congregation. Don't you think that for Joshua it would have been easy to say, you know what? I would a whole lot rather be up there on the mountainside with Aaron holding up the hands of the man of God, but I'm down here in the valley with a sword in my hand. I don't know how many of you ever swung a sword before. I haven't. but I imagine that it's pretty intense. There was no envy in the heart of Joshua. And I say to you that the leaders and the pastors within our church, they need some congregants who aren't envious of others' positions within the ministry. The easy job was given to Aaron and Hur, and they were on the mountain with the man of God. No sword was in their hand, and it almost seemed that the easy job was the position of most importance. And I say to you, church, a lot of times it'll seem that way when you're serving your local church. It'll seem like the most important job is the easiest job. But God's needing some Joshuas that are willing to go down into the battle and willing to fight the adversity while somebody else is standing on the mountain. Can I say this to you? A mighty person for God will embrace the daunting task over the position of ease and prominence. Moses knew that Joshua could be trusted. Daunting task is often a reflection of trust in the man expected to complete the task. I want to ask you this question tonight, church. Does your pastor trust you? Amen. Does your pastor trust you? Think about that defining call to a position. But then I see this. I see a distinguished closeness in partnership. Did you know that your pastor doesn't just need somebody that is simply close to them? Your pastor needs someone that is spiritually inclined and supportive in the face of difficulty. Did you know that Aaron was close to Moses? You look at the ministry and the life of Moses, Aaron was very close to Moses. But he caused Moses a multitude of difficulty. He caused Moses all kinds of mess and aggravation, but he was probably close as far as proximity, closer to Moses than really anybody else. But see, Aaron often partnered with the voice of the people, but Joshua partnered with the man of God. Listen to me, church, within ministry, it's easy to partner with the voice of the people. And I've seen it over and over, and I prayed and I told the Lord when I was preparing for this message, I said, Lord, please don't let me preach this message in the wrong spirit, because I just come through a pretty rough time, Pastor. And I don't want to take out on nobody what some of the feelings I've experienced. I'll tell you a little bit and we'll get back on track. You stay with me. And I left the church down there. I was very discouraged, struggling. I'm telling y'all, struggling. Fighting mental battles like crazy. I prayed and told the Lord. I preached that first Sunday, or that last Sunday there at the church, and I prayed and told the Lord. Y'all young people, listen to this. God answers prayer. They sung about it just a minute ago. I prayed and told the Lord. I said, Lord, if you're not done with me, you say, oh, now, preacher, surely you wasn't thinking that. Absolutely I was. I said, Lord, if you're not done with me, would you open a unique door? Now you say, well, you ain't supposed to fleece the Lord. You ain't supposed to try test. Well, okay, y'all don't do that. But I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you're not done with me, would you open a unique door? I had a first sergeant that I worked with, worked for a long, he was a line sergeant when I first started the patrol, and he was very good to me, took care of me. And he called me I prayed that on Wednesday after that Sunday. He called me on Thursday. I hadn't talked to him in over a year. He said, we talked a little bit about the patrol. We talked a little bit about things, you know, with politics and that, different things like that. And he said, I got a weird question to ask you. I said, what's that, Sarge? He said, I know you're pastoring, but our church don't have a pastor right now. And they, several years ago, I had shared a devotion at that church and during a basketball tournament. They got a big facility and a nice gymnasium. And he said, we don't have a pastor. And several of the folk in the church asked me to call you. And I know you're pastoring, but if you could get away maybe for just one Sunday and come out here and preach for us, our people would love it. I thought to myself, thank you, Lord. I hung the phone up, and here's what I prayed next. I said, well, Lord, if you could, would you give me some place to preach this Sunday? I'd love to preach somewhere this Sunday. And he scheduled me for the week after that. He called me on Saturday. He said, brother, I messed up, and I know it's short notice, but if there's any way, could you be there in the morning to preach for us? And so I told the Lord when I was preparing for this message, because of everything I've been through, I said, Lord, help me to realize that I need to preach this in the right spirit. Because this may not necessarily be for anybody right now, but y'all got a lot going on here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And I promise you, I can make you this promise, there is going to be difficulty coming at some point. And you are going to have to make the decision. Do I partner with the voice of the people, or do I stand with the man of God? And if every single person under the sound of my voice tonight says, I'm going to stand with the man of God, then the difficulty will dissipate from this facility. You mark it down. So your pastor needs some people that are not involved with the sin that'll go on within the congregation. Now think about Exodus chapter number 32, and we know this story pretty well. Moses now, he's went up on the mountain, and God's given him the Ten Commandments, right? God's given him the Ten Commandments. Watch this in Exodus 32 and verse 17 and 18. The Bible said, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted. Now let me give you the setting here of what's taking place. Moses has been up on the mountain speaking with God. He's given Moses the Ten Commandments, and now they're coming back down. And I don't know where Joshua was hanging out, but he wasn't with the people. And the Bible tells us that Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." I can just see in the heart of Joshua, he thinks it's fighting time. He's ready to go, man. He's ready to go. And he said, "It is not the voice of them shouting for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry out for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So here's what's happening. Moses has been alone with God, and he's coming back down to a congregation of people, Brother Heath, that have taken the gold earrings and the gold bracelets that was spoiled that they brought up out of Egypt. They've melted it down. After God's parted the Red Sea, after he's given them food and water and clothing, and they've taken that and they've turned it into a calf, and they're dancing around worshiping. He's fixing to walk into this. And you know who's by his side? At the point that, I want you to hear this now, at the point that the nation of Israel had turned aside to worship the golden calf, Moses was in the perfect will of God. If you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, you understand and hear that. At the point that the nation of Israel did one of the worst things they ever did, the man of God was in the perfect will of God. One of the things that I see a lot of times is when sin creeps into the congregation, there's always an assumption that the pastors are not where they need to be with Jesus. And because of that, you'll see people start partnering with the people, and they'll walk away from the man of God. But when the nation of Israel did what they did, I don't know that you can hardly find anywhere in the Scripture that Moses was any closer to God than he was right then. That may have been the closest he had ever got with God. That happened. There's going to be some times, church, where there's going to be sin creep into the camp. And that is not a reflection of the leadership. It is, my friend, a reality because we're all a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners. Amen. And it's not an excuse to allow it to happen, but it's a reality that we must understand, and we must partner with God's man in those times. Your pastor, or as a pastor or a leader, you need to understand that just because the people are going the wrong way does not mean that you're not in God's will. One of the hardest difficulties that you can face is difficulty among the congregation. I faced that in the short time that I pastored. Man, it was hard. It was hard. Sin breaks out in the church. I wonder tonight, does your pastor have enough confidence in you to know that there's no way you're involved? Think about that. Is there a partnership between you and the man of God? So close and so strong that when sin breaks out, you don't even cross his mind. He already knows. This is why I believe personally, Brother Ramey, this is why I believe personally that Moses was able to face what he faced when he walked down there in the camp and he saw them dancing around that cow. Here's why I believe he was able to face it with confidence. Not only because God was with him, but also because Joshua was behind him. Moses knew that Joshua knew that he was in the will of God. And he knew that Joshua wasn't involved in the sin that was going on in the camp. When Moses and Joshua walked into the camp of the nation of Israel and they're dancing around this golden calf and worshiping this idol, Joshua looked at Moses and here's what he thought. Moses is the man of God and he's in the perfect will of God. And Moses looked at Joshua and said, "This man's been with me and he's been behind me and he's been where I've been and I know he's not involved." And because of that partnership, they were able to walk in and deal with what was going on in the country. congregation. Well, can I say to you that God is looking for somebody, looking for some congregants that will stand with His man when there's difficulty within the ministry. Joshua stood with Moses. Now I want us to kind of switch gears just a little bit, and then we're going to tie these two together. You stay with me, all right? Another great leader in our Bibles, man by the name of David, King David. He had some mighty men that served him, and David is probably one of the greatest kings, if you probably besides Solomon, was a great king for his wisdom, but probably one of the greatest kings as far as a warrior. And we find a story in the book of Samuel. The Bible teaches us that David, he was in a hold, he was in a garrison of the Philistines, and he was in Bethlehem. And the Bible teaches us in Samuel 23 that 2 Samuel 23, that David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of water, the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men that were with him and that heard him long for these things. Now understand, he did not ask for water. He longed for it. They broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate. And they took it and they brought it to David. And when I begin to think about this thought of standing with our pastors, I thought about this discerning communication that was powerful in the story of David and his mighty men. See, David longed. David never requested that we can see here for these men to fulfill the longing. No doubt fear was in his heart, and he probably would never have put them men in that position, but they had a discerning communication with their leader, and they broke through that garrison, that host of the Philistines, and they brought water back to their leader. These men were discerning men. And I want to say this to every single person here, but especially our men that are in the church. One of the greatest communications that you can have between you and your pastor is communication through discernment. You say, what does that mean? What does that mean, preacher? Well, that word discernment simply means this: the ability to judge well. The ability to judge well. And so if you're going to communicate through discernment with your pastor, it's going to take a little bit more than just a shallow Christian life. And God allowed me to serve under my pastor for some 8 years, I guess it was, and then I went and was at the church for a couple years, and we're back now at Pleasant Hill under my pastor, and I thank God for him. He's a blessing. I was able to, Miss Amanda and I was tasked with starting up the college ministry there that's still going strong, and I thank the Lord for that. Took care of the music. I'm no singer, but God just helped me. And we led the choir and took care of the special music. And one of the things that I learned working under my pastor was how powerful it was to communicate with him through discernment. There are going to be times that you come into this church, this place, and your pastor's going to have such a burden on his heart, whether for lost souls, someone who has strayed from the fold, a message that God has laid on his heart, and he's going to be under a burden. And if you're carnal, here's what you're going to think. Well, what's wrong with the pastor today? Why, he's plumb ill. Why, he looks like that somebody drunk all the milk out of his cereal this morning. I don't know. And I've seen this. I've seen this happen. I've observed it. I've seen my pastor under a great, great burden on a Sunday morning. And I've seen him standing on the platform. And I've seen people in the church run up on the platform and just start blabbering off about some carnal mess, about an old car or something. Nothing bad. Nothing that's wrong. And I can see it in his heart how he grieves him, because of the burden that he's trying to carry. And see, us as preachers, we're just like you. Pastor mentioned it this morning. We're just like you. God just placed a calling on our life. And to be honest with you, sometimes I feel like I'm probably a lot worse than a lot of y'all. But God's placed a calling on my life. Some of y'all may be a lot better person than I am. I believe that. I really do. But God burdens your pastor, these other men of God, ought to be careful how we approach them when they're carrying the burden that's going to have to be given from this pulpit. And you're going to see that if you are able to judge well. That's the word discernment. The Bible teaches us this in 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons, y'all probably know this and could quote it, of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here it is now, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There were many a time that I would run up and I would say things or joke or something, and I would automatically realize I had grieved my pastor. And some of you probably know what I'm talking about because of the burden that he was carrying. These men that were in this place in 2 Samuel, they were able to discern the heart of their leader. And what this entails, church, is you being able to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because if I don't do that, what that does, if I don't bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that makes me a carnal person. What that does. It just allows my thoughts to run. It may not be bad thoughts. It may not be anything that's necessarily sinful or wrong, but I just let my thoughts just go wild and I just say whatever comes to mind. And what Paul is teaching us in 2 Corinthians is you need to bring those into captivity, learn to discern, judge well before you release those thoughts to the public. Be careful about that. See, when you come into this place, this is a holy place. This is a place where God delights in doing something for His people and for those that are lost. And man, if I could perfect that discernment that I'm preaching to you about, what communication that brings to be able to judge well when I'm communicating with my leader. These men, not only were they able to, they had a distinguished closeness and partnership, and they had a discerning communication that was powerful, but these men displayed a command presence about them. These men that were dedicated to King David, they had a command presence about them. That's your ability to project your position as one of authority in a professional sense. And it's being able to do that in your environment, whatever it may be. And how you are perceived by those around you defines your level of command presence. I'm probably, if you hang out with me long enough and I get loosened up, I can be one of the goofiest people. My nickname growing up was Goober, okay? I can be one of the goofiest people. I get loosened up. I just am. And I've got to be careful about that. I got to be careful about that. Because if I'm going to project myself from a position or place of authority, I have to have some self-control in that. Now, some of y'all are more serious than others. Everybody is wired differently. Some of y'all are just serious about everything. God bless you. I'm not. And the reality is everything ain't a joke. That's the reality. And these men were able to draw that line when it needed to be drawn. Have a seriousness about them so they could be what they needed to be for their leader, for their pastor, for their king. That command presence, it comes through training. Training the mind, training the abilities, judging well through discernment. I think about these men. Eliezer, he smote the Philistines, these three men. Now, Eliezer, he smote the Philistines till his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. And we understand that Adino, he single-handedly slew 800 at one time. And then Shammah, he defended a piece of ground just simply because it belonged to the Lord. These men were serious men. And when I looked at these three men, I thought, what is special that all three of these men have in common? And every one of these men, this is what they had in common, Pastor. They were willing to fight alone. All three of these mighty men that broke through that host of Philistines and got that water for their pastor, if you will. The characteristic that they all possessed was they were able to fight and willing to fight alone. Can I say to you, church, that your pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church, he needs some people that are willing to stand alone even in the face of adversity. Are you an advocate for your pastor when your pastor's not around? Will you stand alone for your leader? Or will you partner with the man of God in spite of the voice of the people? Will you do that? And in order to stand alone, you got to have this command presence. Men of another sort, Christians of intensity, pure intensity. And I want to give you this, and I'm going to finish up tonight. I want to give you their degree of celebration is parallel. You say, what are you talking about? Well, they enjoyed worship together. Moses and Joshua and David and his mighty men, they got to enjoy worship together. See, worship's dissipating from our churches. We're bringing in now what we're doing, even in the, I don't even know what terms to use anymore, but even in what we call the fundamental movement, we see changes to our worship creeping in because we have lost what true worship is. We don't experience, and you ought to thank God for what you have here and what you get to enjoy, the choir that God's given and those that serve to be able to worship in a place as God would have you worship. You ought to thank God for that. Don't take it for granted, because all across America it's creeping in because we have lost what it means to truly worship God. When we look back and we think about Joshua and Moses, after the sin was dealt with, Joshua and Moses entered the tabernacle. The Bible says this in Exodus chapter number 33. Now this is after all that mess took place and the sin was dealt with, the golden calf, in Exodus chapter number 33. The Bible said, and it came to pass in verse number 9, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and they worshiped every man. Watch where they worshiped at. In his tent door. That's pretty good. Sounds like they've got their heart right. Sounds like they're on the right track. And I thank God for that. And you're going to go through that ministry. They worshiped at their tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as man speaketh unto his friend. Boy, aren't you thankful for that, Pastor? Aren't you thankful for the times when it seems like everything you've done has kind of fell apart and all of a sudden you find yourself talking to God as friend with friend? Boy, I'm thankful for that. But then this is interesting to me. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. There is a distinguished worship enjoyed by the pastor coupled with the man that said, I'll stand with God's man. The entire nation of Israel, Brother Raymond, they're in their tent door and they're worshiping and they're saying, yes, we've got everything figured out. We got everything fixed. God's forgiven us. And we see God moving in the tabernacle and we see God doing stuff. But there was somebody that had something a little special about them. A man by the name of Joshua. And he's down in the tabernacle with Moses enjoying worship that nobody else gets to enjoy. You want to know what's special? Is when you stand with God's man and God allows you to come into a place of worship in the tabernacle and you get to experience something nobody else gets to experience. See, it ain't for naught. Man, you can get a hold of something in the tabernacle with your pastor if you'll stand with him that nobody else gets to experience. As sad as it is, there'll be folk that attend church all the days of their life. They'll just never truly get to enjoy that. I don't want to be that person. Man, I want to be the one that gets to experience something special in the tabernacle. My goodness. There's no greater distinguished worship than the worship enjoyed by the pastor coupled with the person that stands behind him. You can worship from the tent door if you want to. Amen. But if you want to experience the glory of the tabernacle, I believe you have to stand unwavering with God's man. True worship, as I've already said, is dissipating from our churches, and I believe that it is because fewer and fewer people are standing with God's men. You say, I just don't understand why worship is dissipating. There's a lack of respect for authority for those that are standing behind the sacred desk. And it's robbing us of our worship. I really believe that. So God is looking for some people of intensity, people of another sort to stand in the gap, to love His Word, and support their pastor. I think about those men that broke through that group of Philistines and got that water. You remember that story? The Bible says they brought it back to David, and you know what he done? He poured it out. Y'all go study that story. David poured that water out on the ground. If you study what that means, that was a drink offering before the Lord. They were worshiping together. You say, my goodness, them men had just risked their life for their king, and then he pours that water out. No, it's much more than that. What happened when they got that water back to David, they all had a worship service together is what happened. And he poured that drink offering out before the Lord, and it was there that they come together and was able to worship God. You want to worship God in spirit and in truth. I understand there's a lot of stuff to it, but one of the biggest things we've got to understand is we've got to come together and stand with God's man like never before, and we'll see God allow us to worship Him like we've never enjoyed before. I believe that that is the highest pinnacle of worship that we can experience, is when we've said, you know what, I'm not going to partner with the people, I'm going to stand with God's man. And then we get to worship at that pinnacle that many will never get to enjoy. Jeremiah said, I'll give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I understand that there are, in the day we're living in, there are preachers that are not leading right. They're not. I was talking a little bit about, before I got started this evening, about my wife's family, one of the situations that really hurt their family many, many years ago. They were in Raleigh. My father-in-law's a retired SBI special agent. He was a director of the Western Lab, and when he first started his career was in Raleigh, and they attended a church at the time there, and that pastor would go up to people in the church and he would tell them, hey, God told me to borrow money from you. And he would take money from these people in the church and he would never pay them back, and that went on and on. And my father-in-law was a deacon, if I'm telling it correctly, and so he was involved in having to deal with that situation when it finally came out. And I understand that there are those out there, those wolves in sheep's clothes that'll get behind a pulpit. Hey, listen to me, church, you don't have that. You don't have that. And all across America, there's churches sitting with no pastor in the pulpit. You ought to thank God for what you have here. He did not tell me to preach what I'm preaching tonight. Now, he and I, we talk a lot. And he talked about how we talk about Bible and spiritual things, and we do some, but a lot of times it's carnal stuff we talk about, because I'm telling you, he's God's man, but he is a little bit carnal. I'm kidding. Hey, we all are. You better understand, it's something you got to work and practice, right? He didn't tell me to preach none of this tonight. God did. And like I said, I believe it's one of the greatest churches in America. I don't say that facetiously. I believe that. But I also know what's going on here for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you something. The devil ain't happy with what y'all are doing. He ain't, buddy. And he would love nothing more than to build a golden calf right here in this auditorium and see every single one of you walk away from that man right there and worship an idol. And I hope and pray to God that there's a Joshua or two that he can look at and say, I don't even have to think about it. That man right there, he ain't involved. He ain't involved. And that Joshua can look at him and say, I know he's in the perfect will of God, because I've seen where he's been. I've seen the mountain that he's been on. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to melt that golden calf down. And we're going to preach the Word of God. And we're going to lead this congregation back to a place where their hearts are right. And can I say to you, hey, listen, it's going to happen. It just depends on what scale. Hey, you've been pastor long enough. He'll get up and tell you. We're carnal. We're fleshly. We're sinful people. Are you going to be that Joshua? Are you going to be those mighty men? If you'll come to the piano, sister, and get ready to play. Here's what I want to ask you. Would you dedicate tonight? Now, we're in revival, right? Kicking off revival on this cold, rainy. Thank God for that hot tub over at that cabin. Praise God, brother. You was in the will of God. That's a Joshua back there. Cold, rainy Sunday, 2023. My goodness. Would you dedicate in your heart tonight and say, you know what? I'm going to just stand with my pastor. Things are going good here at the church. We're in a building program. Beautiful buildings going up. God's moving. Souls are being saved in the children's church. And man, things are great. But tonight, what I'm going to do, while everything's going good, I'm going to dedicate in my heart that I'm going to stand with the man of God, come what may. I'm not partnering with the voice of the people, but I'm going to stand with God and His man. If you need to come to this altar, here's the invitation that I want to give to your heart. Why don't you come down here and say, God, I'm going to do my best to stand with your man. Because I know that there's worship that can only be experienced in the tabernacle with God's man if I stand with him. I don't want to be in the tent door. I want to be in the tabernacle. God comes down. Heads are bowed.